For a candidate, eating like a regular person when you're on the campaign trail is hard. The cameras are in your face, and they really, really, really want to see you drip grease on your shirt or eat a slice of pizza with a knife and fork or take a big old bite out of a, let's face it, totally phallic corn dog. In the coming months, as we watch the Clinton and Trump bandwagons go from town to town, from diners to barbecues to hog roasts, Dan Pashman, host of the Sporkful podcasts, wants you to know that every choice the candidates make about food, to slurp or not to slurp, is a thoroughly vetted process.
So right now, politicians across the country are on the campaign trail. That means they're stopping at small-town diners and big fundraising dinners, county and state fairs. And as they go, they're eating. And each time they take a bite, candidates have a chance to win over voters or lose them. Here's former Arkansas governor and two-time presidential candidate Mike Huckabee.
A lot of times I'd be at some banquet and people would come up and look at my plate and say, I just wanted to see what you were eating. And it suddenly made me realize people were really paying attention.
People do pay attention to that. They get concerned if you don't go to the iconic place in their community. If you're not willing to take a bite of a big pork tenderloin, you know, then you're not one of them.
This is Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack. He ran for president back in 2008, but he dropped out before any primaries or debates were held. He's also a two-term governor of Iowa, so this guy knows his way around the campaign trail.
You know, every day there are a series of missteps that can happen with food that can create problems.
And those problems can be big. For instance, back in 1976, Gerald Ford is running for president against Jimmy Carter. And Ford gets to this campaign stop in Texas, and someone hands him a tamale. Seems harmless enough, right? Possibly delicious? Well, Mike Huckabee was living in Texas at the time. He still remembers what happened next.
So he took it, and he tried to eat it, but he didn't take the shuck off. So he left the shuck on the tamale. Well, every newscast in Texas all weekend long, all they did was show Gerald Ford not knowing how to eat a tamale. To this day, I am convinced that it was that gaffe with the tamale that cost him the state of Texas. Carter won Texas, and Carter won the presidency. And it may have been a tamale that did it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. When you're eating on the campaign trail, one false bite can cost you the presidency. That's why your staff goes to such extreme lengths to plan every tiny detail of every event.
Who's the quintessential waiter or waitress that I might want to have serve the candidate? Is there going to be room to bring in about 15 members of the press?
This is Josh King. He's a former White House aide. When you hear him talk about how he plans a campaign event in a restaurant, it actually sounds like he's shooting a movie. Or, I guess, more like a commercial.
I'd love it if, ideally, the candidate will be captured in a place that just looks like they're having a natural snack or a lunch, and it doesn't seem to be this circus atmosphere that's actually has 20 people brought in to gawk.
Then comes the question that I would stress over if I was running for president. What should the candidate order? Jonathan Prince worked on both of Bill Clinton's campaigns. He says a lot depends on what the event is about, what kind of story the campaign is trying to tell.
Some of these events are about the place. The character there is the restaurant. The character there is the waitresses who have been working there for 30 years and the stories that they tell. There are other times where the food really is the character. And especially when you get into kind of regional specialties, local specialties, in those places, obviously, part of what you're looking for is to actually try out the specialty.
But regional foods can also get you into big trouble. When Mitt Romney went to Mississippi 4 years ago, he referred to the cheese grits as cheesy grits. Big mistake. Back in 2004, when John Kerry was running for president, he went to Philly and ordered a cheesesteak, asked for it with Swiss cheese, which is not one of the accepted options in Philadelphia. And Kerry was already fighting a perception that he was a fancy pants. Now, look, I know Swiss cheese ain't exactly cave-age Roquefort, but compared to the cheese whiz goop they usually put on a cheesesteak in Philly, Swiss cheese does sound kind of fancy pants.
So the thing about all these gaffes across the board, and they're food gaffes and non-food gaffes, is that they generally are damaging when they play into preconceived notions that people already have about the candidate.
It's hard.
This is former Colorado Congresswoman Pat Schroeder. She briefly ran for president back in the 80s.
We would brief presidential candidates who came in on how to eat an enchilada. So it is always important to know those little details.
Now, if you manage to survive the ordering process without screwing up and offending anyone, now you got to actually get the food into your mouth. And it was that eating part where Schroeder sometimes had trouble.
I had a plaid dress. I mean, we're talking the 70s, right? When plaid dresses were in. And I remember I was at an event where there was a lot of media, and I did have a spill. The next night, there was an event, and I didn't go to it. And I remember turning on TV, and the commentator said, Schroeder wasn't here. Her plaid dress was probably at the cleaners. And I thought, oh, my, was it really that bad?
In this election cycle, Ohio Governor John Kasich came under fire for eating with, shall we say, maybe a little too much gusto at times. Donald Trump really went after him.
I have never seen a human being eat in such a disgusting fashion. I'm always telling my young son, Barron, I'm saying, and I always with my kids, all of them, I'd say, children, small little bites, small. This guy takes a pancake and he's shoving it in his mouth. It's disgusting.
But Trump's eating habits have also come under fire. Back in 2011, he went out for a slice of pizza with Sarah Palin in New York. On The Daily Show, Jon Stewart broke down Donald's technique.
Let's just go to the content of your meeting, and then we'll just, son of a bitch! Mother, and you stack your slices, Donald? With all due respect, you stack slices of pizza. The steam from the bottom of the slice is going to make the top crust, you piece of No disrespect. I apologize. Let's continue with the meeting. Is it, are you eating it with a fork? A f***ing fork? Ah, Maron!
Now, sometimes the issue isn't the way a candidate eats at all. It's the way they cook. At the Iowa State Fair, they have this thing called the Iowa Pork Producers Tent, and it's just a must-stop for candidates. It's one of those traditions. They come by the grill, flip a few pork chops for the cameras, simple photo op, right? Not so much on one fateful day in 2007 when presidential candidate Mitt Romney stopped by.
Oh, I'll never forget that. Oh, it was hot that day.
This is Dana Wonkin, but you can call him by his nickname, Spanky. He's a former hog farmer. Now he runs the grills at the Iowa Pork Tent.
Mitt was flipping chops into the pan, and a nice, great big one fell right between him and his wife. And he bent. I said, don't do it. I said, you don't do it. Leave it. I'll get it. So he picked that sucker up and threw it back on the grill. I said, you can't do that. And I stuck my arm right in between him and her, and I jerked it off the grill. Man, that baby was hot.
Yeah.
And I threw it over. I threw it over in the carpet. But I couldn't. Then he mentioned that last year. You know, I dropped one time. Yeah, I remember that. I'm sure I remember that.
We actually have tape of this moment, so let's really go ahead and break this down. It's a little noisy, but you'll hear Romney talking.
Hot dogs and hamburgers.
Then he drops the pork chop.
Whoa! There goes one.
Spanky leave saying, leave it. Then Romney says, it's the five-second rule.
It's the five-second
when he throws the chop back on the grill, the crowd's not happy.
Smart to be flipping. It's part of the
headline on CNN the next day, candidates descend on Des Moines, Romney drops chop. But come on now, Spanky, if you were grilling at home and the pork chop fell on the ground for a couple seconds, wouldn't you pick it up and serve it?
Unless I just mowed the lawn, I probably would. I don't want all that grass on there.
I gotta say, I'm with Spanky, but the narrative coming into that event was Mitt Romney is stiff and phony and so rich that he's out of touch and probably doesn't do his own grilling. So when he dropped the chop, everyone said, look at this stiff, rich guy trying to act like a regular person and failing. And I think that's unfair. Any regular person who does a lot of grilling sometimes drops things. And a lot of us regular people often pick them up and put them back on the grill. So if you're running for office, How do you win over voters at these food events? And how do you find time for a decent meal for yourself? Here again is Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack, former Iowa governor and presidential candidate. He says different types of events require different strategies.
There would be the place that you'd have to go in order to be seen by people that you were trying to persuade, the opinion leaders. So it might be Mario's, for example, in Dubuque, Iowa, that serves Italian. And Mario would come out, pat you on the back, people would see you, and then a big, huge plate of spaghetti would appear, or lasagna, or something that was pretty rich. And you would, of course, be required, in order to show your worthiness, to be able to consume all of that. There's that. And then there is the buffet. The people bring their very best dish, and the full expectation is that you take a bite of everything that's on that table.
Yeah, so walk me through the strategy. You know, you're at sort of a, it sounds like a community covered dish supper, potluck dinner, basically. And, you know, if you don't eat Mrs. Jones's casserole, she's going to be upset.
That's guaranteed. That is guaranteed. So you take a spoonful of everything.
I see.
And then, of course, you know, when you get to the dessert table, you might take two or three spoonfuls to show you're a regular guy. I mean, you know, there's a science to it.
I'm curious, what happens if Mrs. Jones has made something that it's just a dish you flat out can't stand? How do you navigate that situation?
Well, in some cases, it depends on how politically connected Mrs. Jones is. If she's the committee chairwoman or the chair of the party, you, by golly, you're going to take that spoonful and you're going to like it.
Mike Huckabee, the former Arkansas governor and presidential candidate, he has a little different approach. He says it's actually okay to turn down food as long as you're polite, and it's okay if you don't know much about someone else's food.
Be natural. If you don't understand a particular food, the locals appreciate if you say, gee, I've never eaten this before. What's the best way to do it? And have some fun, for heaven's sakes. Don't let your staff ruin this by making you all nervous. I think sometimes I watch politicians, and they're so afraid that they will make a mistake that their mistake is being afraid of making a mistake.
But there are still mistakes that you got to avoid. Huckabee's actually really broken this down Sporkful style. He says there's an art to eating in a way that wins over voters.
Number one, you have to avoid looking like you're so particular and so dainty that you can't dive into a food that you need to dive into. If you're afraid of getting sauce on your sleeve, then that looks like you're too hoity-toity, and that'll hurt you. But the other thing is if you dive into it so vigorously that it's all over your face and you look like a pig, then that too can hurt you. So you just have to be careful and remember everything you do can and will be used against you in a campaign. And I'll give an example. There is a very famous picture of Michelle Bachmann in 2012 eating a corn dog at the Iowa State Fair that was, let's just say, less than flattering. And, you know, there are certain foods that you have to be careful, not only how it tastes, but how it looks.
The political strategist you heard earlier, Jonathan Prince, he's a Democrat. Mike Huckabee, Republican. But this is one issue where they totally agree.
There is no politician who ever looks good with a corn dog in their mouth.
Future leaders, I hope you're taking notes. Now, there is one other way to avoid food gaffes. Don't eat when you're campaigning. That seems to be what Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are doing. When Hillary went to a famous cheesecake place in New York, she didn't eat any cheesecake. Stephen Colbert asked her why not.
Well, it's awkward eating in front of the press.
They wanted you to eat in front of you, didn't they?
Of course. Because they could get a funny shot.
Okay.
You know, something could drop out of your mouth, it could smear your face. Right. I mean, anything that makes you look silly is...
Back in April, Hillary did eat just a little ice cream in front of the press.
I was going to take it to go, but it was, like, in front of me, and I had to start eating it.
Do you know the calorie count? What's the calorie count?
In case you couldn't hear, a reporter asked her if she knew the calorie count of the ice cream. That's why everyone started booing. And I don't think reporters would ask that question to a man running for president. Just saying. For Hillary, though, that ice cream was the exception. Most of the time on any kind of food issue, she's still super cautious.
You know, now, born in Chicago, yeah. Senator from New York.
Right.
Chicago-style pizza or New York-style pizza? And don't worry, you won't offend anybody with this answer.
No, nobody.
she refused to take a side. I talked about that choice with Josh and Jonathan, the campaign strategists.
Any human who eats and has lived in both of those cities has something to say about Chicago pizza and New York pizza. And instead, she sort of laughed and said, oh, I'm not touching that one. You know, I'm not, like, wouldn't most voters like her more if she had picked a side, whichever side it was, than the voters that she would have turned off whoever she picked against?
I totally understand where you're going with that, and I probably disagree. It's kind of like saying here, you like the Cubs or the Yankees. There are certain questions that people know are designed to just kind of get in the middle of these difficult regional rivalries, and it's totally cool for a politician to laugh and say, hey, not going there.
Even if she hadn't taken sides, but if she had been like, well, the thing about the deep dish is I like to eat it like XYZ and I like it with these fillings and this and that. But the thing about the New York one is that it's got these things. Like if she had nerded out on them or just something, it's just like, you know.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah. Nerding out, it would be awesome.
Nerding out would be great.
Maybe she doesn't like pizza. I actually I don't even know the answer.
I'm giving Hillary a hard time for not taking sides. I've also lived in both cities and I...
Oh, yeah. So what's your side?
Well, I actually...
You can't take a side.
I don't... But not because I'm afraid to.
See, this is the classic kind of hypocrisy we see from the media. They want to hold politicians to a standard. They won't hold themselves
to. That's right. No, my logic is that Chicago deep dish pizza and New York pizza are two different foods, and they're both great in their own right. But to compare them to each other is really kind of a false choice. They are too different to compare. That is my opinion, and I am someone, Jonathan, who has taken some very controversial stances, okay? If you look at my record... You will see that I have not been afraid to stand up to the to big interests like the hot dog is not a sandwich lobby.
Okay, I got a little excited there, maybe. Let's bring it back to the people who are actually running for president. No, I have not declared. Let's bring it back to Donald Trump. His most famous food moment of the campaign so far came on Cinco de Mayo. He tweeted a photo of himself with a taco bowl in front of him, and he's giving a thumbs up. And he wrote, "Happy Cinco de Mayo. The best taco bowls are made in Trump Tower Grill. I love Hispanics." You may recall that Trump had previously said most Mexican immigrants are rapists and drug dealers. But that's nothing that can't be smoothed over with a taco bowl, right?
Pretty clever to try and demonstrate your authentic appreciation for a group of people that you've disparaged by using an inauthentic version of their own food on Twitter.
But interestingly, you said a picture of him eating a taco bowl. No, it didn't show him eating at all. It showed him pointing to, and it was a still photo. What we've never seen, although Trump is very quick to criticize the eating habits and eating style of a John Kasich, we have not seen, as far as I know, video of Trump actually consuming anything.
I should say, there is a photo of Trump eating a pork chop on a stick at the Iowa State Fair last year. But since then, he hasn't given us a whole lot. The Washington Post did a series on what the candidates eat. They say Trump loves fast food. McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's. Hillary eats a hot pepper every day. She says that's what keeps her so energetic. But neither she nor Trump eats these foods in front of us. Because to them, the benefit of looking authentic isn't worth the risk of looking imperfect. And that's too bad. I'd love to see Trump digging into a Big Mac or Hillary downing hot peppers. I'd actually like it more if they dropped something on themselves. I'd be happy to see them eat just about anything, except corn dogs.
Dan Pashman is the host of the Sportful podcast, produced right here at WNYC. And here's a quick plug for the show, which, as Dan says, is not about food, it's about eating. In a recent episode, Dan spoke with comedian Jim Gaffigan about lying to your kids so you don't have to share your food with them. In another, he broke the Ramadan fast with a Muslim mom in Michigan. And next week, he'll explore the science of cheesesteaks. Subscribe wherever good podcasts are sold. You've been listening to an On the Media podcast extra. I'm Bob Garfield.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.